You may have been asked by someone who is not of the Catholic faith why it is that we as Catholics pay such honor to, have a great love for, and a devotion to Mary. You may have wondered about this yourselves. To an outsider looking in, it may appear that we put Mary on a higher level than Jesus, which of course we do not, and we must not. He is God. She isn't. And Mary herself would tell us that we are to worship him, not her. And so we don't. But again, why the emphasis? Why is she so important? Well, to begin with, everything that the Catholic faith believes about Mary is based on what we believe about Christ. And in turn, what our church teaches about Mary also enlightens our faith in Christ. In this season of Advent, we focus on Christ's first coming, his incarnation as we prepare to meet him in his second coming at the end of time. We know that God promised a Savior who would free us from the dominion of sin and the corruption of death, one who would lead us back into communion with the Father. The Savior would come in the person of the Word, that is, the Son, made flesh, who would willingly submit himself, even though sinless, to the corruption of death by taking upon himself our sin, our guilt, our punishment. To do this, he had to come into our world, our space, and our time as a man, with a human nature, even though in himself he is a divine person, and be born in the flesh of a human mother. From all eternity, God chose for the mother of his son a daughter of Israel, his chosen people, a young Jewish woman of Nazareth in Galilee, a virgin promised in marriage to Joseph in the lineage of King David. Mary stands out among many, many holy women throughout the Old Testament who were thought of as weak and powerless, but whom God chose to show forth his might and his faithfulness to his promises. In Mary, the time of preparation for Israel to receive her promised Messiah had come to an end. The long period of waiting, the long period of obeying the Jewish law and the prophets, is now fulfilled in her, the exalted daughter of Zion, and a new covenant shall be established in her son. The popular evangelical Christian song, "Mary, Did You Know?", which has made its way into Catholic churches, fails to answer an important question in its opening lyrics, and sadly, has a note of heresy, that is, a theological inaccuracy in another. Number one, Mary did indeed know, without a doubt, that this child, while taking his body from her own, coming to term for 9 months in her womb, born from her natural feminine design, nursed at her breast, was not hers. It's the other way around. She is his, as the angel told her. He shall be called the Son of God, Son of the Most High. Now, she may not have foreseen the future events of his life, his preaching, his miracles, his rejection by his own people, his suffering, death, and resurrection. But when all of these things occurred, she fully understood that this is exactly how it was to be, how it was meant to be. She knew who Jesus is and why he came. And while it pained her deeply to see him despised and rejected, she knew why it was. She had a clarity of mind and heart that we don't have because our hearts and minds have been darkened by sin. Remember that from the very first moment of her conception in the womb of her own mother, St. Anne, by a singular grace and privilege of God the Father, and by the virtue of the future merits of Christ, the Son and Savior of humanity, the Lord protected Mary and preserved her from all stain of original sin that she might be a pure and holy vessel to carry in herself the most holy and pure one begotten of the Father. So the statement in Mary, "Mary, did you know," that says, "The Son that you delivered would soon deliver you," is incorrect. The statement should say instead, "The Son that you delivered has first delivered you." In time, Mary's life is from the very beginning deeply connected to the life of her son. He lived with her in St. Joseph in Nazareth and was obedient to them, as St. Luke tells us. He labored in the carpenter's shop to support himself and Mary after St. Joseph's death. She intercedes for the couple at the wedding of Cana, where Christ performs his first miracle at her request for help. He entrusts his church to Mary through St. John the disciple, and likewise Mary to the church as mother. And in Mary's own words, she has been called blessed throughout the generations. Called blessed, yes, because she bore the Son of God, but even more so because she heard the Word of God. She heard the Word of God from Gabriel. She received the Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. She gave birth to the Word, made flesh in Bethlehem. She lost and found him in the temple, his own father's house. Mary heard and kept his teaching in her heart. She experienced the pain of birth, the birth of the church at the foot of the cross. She experienced the joy of the resurrection and received the fullness of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And at the end of her life, she was the very first one to experience our own future resurrection. By the merits of her Son, Mary was taken up body and soul into glory. Why? Because she said, "I am the handmaid of the Lord." Mary gave herself fully to God the Father's will, and in turn she gave the world its Savior. But even more so, she embraced faith in the Savior that she bore. She has become a mother, an intercessor, a model for us, a model to listen, to obey, to have faith, to show love, and to persevere, to receive Christ, to give Christ, to love Christ. As Mary said, "Do whatever he tells you." As the ancient prayer says, "Loving Mother of the Redeemer, assist your people who have fallen, yet strive to rise again. To the astonishment of nature, you gave birth to your Creator and remained a virgin after as before. You who receive Gabriel's joyful greeting, have pity on us poor sinners and show us the way to your Son."